Global support for sharing vaccine technology is gaining momentum. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, or Gavi, has today applauded President Biden's decision yesterday to back a move by the World Trade Organization to temporarily lift patent protection for coronavirus vaccines. The move, initially proposed by India and South Africa last year, would allow vaccine makers to share information. That would help increase production around the world and make doses more affordable. The World Health Organization has described the waiver as a monumental moment in the fight against the virus. Now the European Union, which has opposed the proposal, says it's now willing to discuss it. The BBC's Andrew Walker has more on that story.
The EU's top official, Ursula von der Leyen, has responded to the US decision this morning by saying the bloc is willing to discuss the idea. Decision-making at the World Trade Organization, however, is done by consensus, so these latest developments do not guarantee that the proposed waiver will be approved. That said, the US move is likely to increase the pressure on other WTO members, such as Britain, Switzerland and the EU, to reconsider their opposition. 100 members of the organisation are said to be in favour of the idea, and a committee on intellectual property is expected to discuss the matter later this month. But pharmaceutical giants have been opposed to these developments. They say patents aren't the biggest obstacle to ramping up production worldwide, and they worry such a move could stifle innovation. I'm the BBC's Andrew Walker for Marketplace.
Well, as efforts continue to get vaccines to people in all corners of the world, researchers are also working on another part of the battle against COVID-19, treatments. In South Africa, alpacas have become a crucial part of that process. Benedicta Mahagu-Durkin is co-founder of Cape Town-based biotechnology company Afrobodies.
The alpaca gives us the blueprint of the mRNA sequence that we can use in the laboratory to produce these antibodies. They're quite small and robust and adaptable in use to detect the presence of a chemical compound or substance, and it also can be used for treatment. It inhibits the growth of the virus once it's entered the human body by neutralizing it. And the way you would administer it is through a nebulizer or an inhaler.
And how far into the testing and development process are you? How successful have the trials been so far?
They're going very well, very successful. We send them for testing at the Glasgow University. We sent a batch with about 15 antibodies, and 7 of them showed very good results. And we further tested against the South African variants in the lab in KwaZulu-Natal University. And they were able to test it on live cells, which is basically mutating. And it also gave back a very high sensitive, very potent results with regards to our antibodies.
So what needs to happen now for you to be able to bring this product to market? And how soon really could that happen?
We have approached some of the pharmaceutical companies, and I think a lot of them have been focusing on the vaccine rollout. And with us being on the treatment side of things, it probably hasn't been possible to do both. And we also in ongoing engagements with potential funders. And another avenue that we want to roll out is equity growth funding, where we would actually allow South Africans in particular, because this is where our company is bred, to be able to partake in assisting us to bring it to the clinical trials.
And I guess that's one of the things that's really interesting about this. If it is made into a final product, it's, as you said, it'll be delivered in an inhaler-like device. And that's critical because, as we know, with the coronavirus vaccines that require cold storage, getting them to some places around the world can be very logistically difficult. So this would make it easier to deliver this to people all over the world, wouldn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And also the antibodies that are made from alpacas, they really are quite robust and able to work in high temperatures that could be made use of in Africa, which we know has higher temperatures. And in some of the medical areas or fields, you don't have the access to mass cold storage or transport for that matter, which increases the cost.
Benedicta Mahagu-Durkin, co-founder of biotech company Afrobodies. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
The trade row between China and Australia has escalated today. Beijing has indefinitely suspended high-level economic dialogue with Canberra. Analysts say the move is largely symbolic, but comes just weeks after the Australian government used federal powers to veto 2 infrastructure agreements between China and the state of Victoria. The move today helped send Australia's benchmark share index down about 0.5%. Checking some other numbers now, benchmarks across Europe are ticking slightly higher, while shares of brewing giant AB InBev are popping nearly 5% in Brussels. That's after the company unveiled a C-suite shakeup as it looks to ramp up beer sales around the world. The BBC's Will Bain explains why the man who built the company into the world's biggest brewer is now leaving.
Well, Victoria, I think it's primarily a question of longevity, really. Carlos Brito's been in the brewing business for more than 30 years. He's been the head of AB InBev for 15 of those years, and I think it's just he's kind of taken the company really as far as he thinks he can take it. I've seen him described this morning by former colleagues as a masterful integrator. His period at the helm of AB InBev has been one of consolidation on a massive scale, Victoria, building up this company through mergers and acquisitions.
All right, so after 15 years, he's moving on. Who's moving in to the C-suite?
Yeah, Michel de Keres is the new man. So he's currently heading up AB InBev's operations in North America. The market certainly are pleased that it's kind of a clear line of succession. He's had a big focus on something that AB InBev talked a lot about in their financial results this morning, which is a focus on what they call their premium brands, things like Stella Artois, Goose Island IPAs, particularly in emerging markets like China, as the company tries to recover, obviously, from the hits it's had through the pandemic. And he's also, interestingly, Victoria, been at the forefront of a lot of AB InBev's efforts for sort of direct-to-consumer e-commerce platforms. And I think that's really interesting as well, given that it's likely that more of us around the world are probably going to work from home, so might not be nipping out from the office after work to have a quick pint in a pub.
Clearly our well-stocked fridges then have been crucial for a company like this. The BBC's Will Bain, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot for having me.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.